The Bible says that we don't have to be weary in well-doing.
We are still bringing you some motivating and empowering moments. You know, I shared with you that, generally speaking, I really like to kind of stack the motivation early in the year, particularly, you know, January, February, especially January. Didn't make it quite as heavy as I wanted to this January, but we're still moving with, because like I said before, we like to do this throughout the year, motivational moments, because we need motivation all year, every year. So to help us with that, we're going to be hearing from Dr. Christopher McKinney. He is the man who is helping to oversee the Innovation Center at Augusta University. I know that we have a lot of people who have ideas. And the thing is, we don't want you to just have the ideas. We really want you to get some clues on how to take the ideas and make them reality. So at the Innovation Center is actually the Center for Innovation and Commercialization. So Dr. McKinney is going to be joining us to talk again about how to take those ideas and do something with them so that people are benefiting from your idea and you are getting paid. That's at 1 o'clock. We'll be speaking with Dr. Christopher McKinney this Thursday, the 8th, at 1 o'clock. At 1:30, we'll be talking with Dr. Dorothy B. Gandy. She has been in the field of education for a number of years, faculty administrator. She's in the process of helping to revive and build on the legacy that was started that we call Voorhees College. We're going to be talking about what she's doing to help get that going and to get it thriving even more. But we're also going to talk about empowerment. One of Dr. Gandy's focuses is the empowerment of women. She has three very interesting books that she has written. And we're going to discuss some of the principles from at least one or two of those books. She'll be with us this Thursday, the 8th, at 1:30. So at 1 o'clock this Thursday, the 8th, Dr. Christopher McKinney. And this Thursday, the 8th, at 1:30, Dr. Dorothy Gandy. I do want to remind you that if for whatever the reason you're not able to be with us, have no fear. If you're not able to be with us when we're live, have no fear, because you'll be able to pick the programs up by going to speakingwith.com, my website, and just clicking on listen online at your convenience. And you'll look for the dates, you look for the names, either one, whatever you know comes to your memory better. The date again will be February 8th. Dr. Chris McKinney on innovation and commercialization, Dr. Dorothy B. Gandy on education and the empowerment of women. Believe me when I say, there is going to be a word of empowerment for us men, too. I had the pleasure of speaking with her. Oh, yesterday, as a matter of fact. And there's some empowerment there for us all. But her focus is the women. So all you'll do is go to speakingwith.com. Look at the link that says listen online at your convenience. Click on that. Find the date, the name of the guest you're wanting to hear. Click on that name and bingo, up come the segments. Just click on each one as you're ready to listen to it. Three quick, easy clicks. Listen online, the name of your guest, the segment you want to hear. That's it. All right, now, let's resume discussion of something that has been plaguing the world for years, that is still plaguing our nation. And I tell you, I'm finding out fairly recently that it seems to be everywhere. Sexual misconduct, and particularly sexual harassment of women. Now, I say particularly sexual harassment of women, but let's keep in mind, as you've heard me, some of you have heard me discuss previously, that sexual harassment is not a one-sided issue. It's not a one-directional situation. It is a bi-directional situation. In other words, we do ourselves a disservice by concluding that the only time sexual harassment or sexual misconduct takes place is when a male is sexually harassing a female. As I mentioned when I first started this conversation weeks ago, it is true that males sexually harass females. But it is also true that females sexually harass females. It is also true that males sexually harass males. It is also true that females sexually harass males. Both genders are guilty of sexual misconduct. And we hear more about men or males in general as a perpetrator. It's not necessarily that men perpetrate more than women. Not necessarily. Now, think about what we know now and think about that expanse of sexual misconduct. Not just rape, because rape is a form of sexual misconduct. Misconduct can show up in many different ways. Sexual misconduct can show up in many different ways. And so some of you have heard me share how there have been stories, true stories, of men who have been in their rooms asleep, camping situations, etc., camping situations for co-ed. And they have awakened to find a female on top of them with their penis inside her vagina. Where this lady has walked in on them while they were literally asleep. She had decided that she wanted to have sexual intercourse with that male. And while he was asleep, she went on ahead and got herself ready, did what she did. And, you know, I hear the men, and my heart goes out to males just as much as my heart goes out to females when they talk about this. I think about this one gentleman in particular who told a story. He didn't share it with me personally, but as I don't know if I should call it testimony. As I read about his account, his saga, he talked about the shame and the embarrassment and the feeling of having been violated that he experienced. And as I've said before, ladies and gentlemen, we need to care about humans. We need to care about people. And so the same way so many of us are ready and willing and ready to feel compassion for a female as she talks about how she feels when she was violated, we need to have that same compassion for males who talk about how they feel as a result of having been violated. We so often hear about the situation when the female is the victim, and we almost get it in our heads that that's the only way it happens, but we need to think about sexual misconduct in the many different ways that it shows up. The female who deliberately dresses in a way as to bring attention to her sexuality. And often, there are males who are making it clear they're not interested. Often that happens. Females who sit and they position themselves in such a way, particularly their legs, as to bring attention to their sexuality. They want the men to be looking at them and thinking sex. Ladies and gentlemen, come on now. This is a program where this is about real talk, about real life. Real talk about the real world. And in the real world, males are not the only ones who have interest in sex, neither are males the only ones who engage in sexual misconduct. We have plenty of married men who go on the prowl to have sex with someone they're not married to. And by the same token, we have plenty of married women who go on the prowl to have sex with a man they're not married to. That has been the case for ages. There's nothing new about it. Like I said, you know, a lot of people really play it up when men are the perpetrators, and they play it down when women are the perpetrators. Truth be told, a married man engaging in adultery is no worse than a married woman engaging in adultery. And we have both genders doing it all the time, and there's nothing new about it. So when we address sexual misconduct on Speaking With, let's do it from a perspective of integrity, openness, honesty. Let's just look at it for what it is and address it for what it is, so that to whatever extent we're able to diminish it, we can. Like I said before, I'm trying to be realistic here. I do not see sexual misconduct going completely away. Not in the next 10 years, not in the next 60 years if we're still here. But maybe we can diminish it, at least in the small circles where we live. I'll be right back.